Back in the 1990s, I went to the beauty shop in the town where I lived. A little woman who was about 60 was sitting there waiting. I came in and sat down to wait for my appointment. We began talking. I probably instigated a talk about something God had done. She said, "Why don't you come to the Church of Christ with me?" And I said, "Well, I want to go to churches that do what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14. And she said, "We do that at the Church of Christ." Well, I just nearly fainted. Of any of the denominations that I know, I probably know more about the Church of Christ than any other denomination. I even went to a Church of Christ college before I was born again. They think they do the scriptures, and they're not even close to doing the scripture. 1 Corinthians 14:26, Paul tells us what to do when we gather as the church. 1 Corinthians 14:26. "How is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying." Church of Christ does hardly any of that. The psalms are really prayers of David. Doctrine, they do their doctrine and some of the Bible doctrine. Tongues, they teach against tongues. Revelation, they would teach against revelation. Interpretation, that's not there because tongues aren't there. They do one or two of the things instructed by Paul for the gathering of the church. But for the most part, that's it. I mean, this is a strong delusion this woman's living under. As many church people live under strong delusions at their church. Mostly they follow a relative or a friend to the church. So many people are not even born again. They don't have the Holy Spirit in them or guiding them. The Holy Spirit teaches us all things, reminds us of everything Jesus has said, guides us into all truth, and shows us things to come. John chapter 14, 26, John chapter 16, verse 13. The Holy Spirit never makes you do anything. You don't fall down on the floor and roll around like they did in churches back in the 30s, thinking that's the Spirit of God. You don't jump up and interrupt the pastor who's speaking and run around the room two or three times. I saw that once at a non-denominational church that I visited when I was trying to find a church, and they all thought it was the Holy Spirit. Why, the Holy Spirit doesn't interrupt the church service. The Holy Spirit is orderly, pure. Truth comes. The Holy Spirit's a spirit of truth. He never makes you do anything. He tells you truth and gives you an opportunity to do it. One time I was with my favorite aunt, who's Church of Christ member, and as I sat there with her, just my aunt and I, in the room, I heard from the Holy Spirit, "Tell your aunt about being taken into heaven." Oh, I didn't want to do that. A Church of Christ member, and I'm going to tell them that I was taken into heaven and describe it to them? But God had worked with me on following the Holy Spirit. I knew when the Holy Spirit brought something to my mind, and I knew it was the Holy Spirit. I have the opportunity to either yield myself to what He says or not yield myself. And God had worked so much with me to yield yourself to what the Holy Spirit tells you and follow what He says. He says, tell your aunt about being taken into heaven. So I said, Aunt Artis, I need to tell you something. After I was born again, I was asleep in the night, one night, and I was transported into heaven. I was with God and Christ and the Holy Spirit. I saw no physical images. It was just a spiritual experience. At that time, I was merged into the body of Jesus, God and the Holy Spirit witnessing. A few nights later, the exact same thing happened to me again. I was transported into heaven. It's very similar to what Paul described in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. When he said, I knew a man in Christ, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, who was transported into the third paradise. It's very similar to what happened in that description in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. While I was speaking, I noticed that my aunt didn't seem afraid of what I was saying. She had sort of a dreamy look on her face. She wasn't at all afraid. And after I finished speaking, my aunt said, something like that happened to me once, and it was all golden. I suspect I'm the only person she's ever told that to. But it also explained to me the reason she always understood me and I understood her. In this podcast, I'm going to speak primarily about when truth and justice vanish. When that happens, nations fall. It happened in Nazi Germany. Joseph Goebbels, second to Hitler, the propaganda minister, said, people don't care about the truth. He called it the big lie. Does that sound familiar? It should. We hear that all the time about United States presidency. The big lie. And Goebbels, the Nazi, said, people don't care about the truth. Tell the story and keep on telling it. Because people really don't care about truth. They just wanted what they wanted for themselves, and it basically didn't matter if what they said to the German people was truth. Just keep telling what you want. And with the big lie, they began to speak lies about Jews, about a master race, which they considered to be German. And later, they were able to gather the Jews because they had laid the foundation where the Germans did not rebel against what they were doing to the Jews. So they gathered up the Jews, put them into concentration camps to work them to death or exterminate them in gas chambers. This information I'm reporting to you right now came from Netflix Episode 9, Greatest Events of World War II in Color. This big lie spoken by Goebbels started about 17 minutes into that episode, if you want to see that episode. The first concentration camps were then in 1937. William Shearer, a CBS correspondent, has written several books about the Nazis. He was living in Germany at the time. He spoke fluent German. He had a 5-minute radio broadcast from Berlin. It's really funny because I've read his books on the rise and fall of the Third Reich several times. And Shearer said, when he started the broadcast from Germany, and Hitler was running the government at that time, CBS said, if you don't have 5 minutes worth of news, just give what's left over back to us. But you can have 5 minutes of broadcast time living in Nazi Germany at the time of Hitler. I just think that's so funny. Today they say nothing and have 2 or 3 hours to say it in. Well, Shearer wrote another book, which recently I purchased on ebook. It's The Collapse of the Third Republic. He said that he was looking into the subject of the French army. They just gave up immediately, the first battle. They gave up to the Germans and turned over Paris. And he said they were the greatest army in the world in World War I. Why in World War II did they just quit? And he came up with some reasons, which I found very interesting. He concluded that 3 things caused integrity to disappear in France. Personally, I think integrity is a tremendous problem today in the United States. The judges can't make decisions. They're afraid. The jurors in the Trump trial are afraid to be on the jury. And some of them declined being on the jury because of fear. Someone said, nobody should be afraid in the United States to be on a jury. But they are. The judges are afraid of Trump. The jury is afraid. The Republicans are afraid. Democrats might be afraid. I don't know. I'm very non-political, so as I speak this, I believe I see the truth. But in this book that's written telling the reasons the French didn't have integrity, he gave 3 reasons which are very believable. First, he said, people did not care about the truth in pre-war World War II France. They had lost that caring about the truth. Second reason, journalists were uninformed, so they didn't write the truth, and many of them wrote things that weren't true. Often, inquiry was not even made into the matter. Same problem exists in the churches, where scripture on the matter at hand that the person's interested in are just not even considered. Yet we all have Bibles. But they don't look into the Bible. They go to the pastor and say, can a divorced woman remarry? One of our church members did that. She was raised Baptist, but she wasn't born again. She married, had 2 children, divorced, and then she wanted to marry a second time. So they went to a pastor. I don't know what kind of pastor, but they went to a pastor. The woman said, I'm divorced, and now I want to marry, and I want to know, am I permitted as a divorced woman to remarry? This pastor replied, well, of course you are. You can divorce and remarry. My sister is divorced, and she remarried. So the woman and this man married. And then she was born again. And she began to read the Bible for herself. And she said, I committed adultery, according to the Bible, when I divorced and remarried. And that's exactly true. And she was so angry at this pastor for not telling her the truth of the Bible. We've got Bibles. We can all read the Bible. She wasn't born again at the time, though. Read the Bible. If you have a question, read the Bible. Establish it by New Testament Bible and sometimes by Old Testament Bible even. But certainly by New Testament Bible. As far as World War II, they were uninformed in France and they just didn't care. And a third thing that was a problem was justice. Events such as the Dreyfus case, which happened around 1895, he was a Jew in France. He was wrongfully convicted and sent to Devil's Island for lifetime prison sentence. He got released for a new trial in 5 years. But 5 years on Devil's Island, oh, what an awful thing that would be. High government officials wanting to convict him made up things and even forged papers. And they knew they were lies on the first trial. But I think he was convicted again on the second trial because the high government officials wanted to protect the army. He was a colonel or something in the army and had been convicted of selling papers to Germany. And the high government officials wanted him convicted, so they forged papers. This was a really wild story. Justice was not working in France at that time when they had had justice in their courts in previous times. Politics had taken over and their courts had become corrupt. So the three things that caused, in his opinion, the fall of the French army in World War II, the three things were not caring about truth, being uninformed, and no justice. There are several times in the Bible it says the righteous are redeemed through judgment, which would be justice. When God judges, it will be right. I see this in churches today, as well as in the masses in the United States. They consider little things aren't important. Little things are critical. For example, in Matthew 5:32, Jesus said, "The man who marries a divorced woman commits adultery." Have you ever heard that taught at church? I haven't in 40 plus years. I've never heard that taught. And yet it's a scripture. Jesus spoke it two times. Matthew 5:32, Jesus said, "But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, divorce his wife, saving for the cause of fornication," that's the only scriptural reason to divorce your wife, "causeth her to commit adultery when she remarries after divorce, even though she was faithful. If she remarries after divorce, she commits adultery." Matthew 5:32. "And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery." And the other scripture that says the same thing is Matthew 19:9. "And I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and marry another committeth adultery. And whosoever marries her which is put away, divorced, doth commit adultery. The man who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Why don't they teach it? What would happen if they taught that at a great big 3,000-seat church? One time I attended a luncheon at Texas Tech when I lived in Lubbock. It was a prearranged seating, and they had our names at the tables. There were about, I suppose, 9 or 10 people per big round table. They had me seated next to a man who was wearing the biggest cross around his neck that I have ever seen. I knew I was in immediate trouble. He began speaking to the people at the table. He said he was former pastor of Indiana Street Baptist Church. And he said, oh, we have such a problem at the church. Well, then everybody looked at him, wanting to know what the problem was. He said, we have added on to the auditorium 3 times, and we still can't seat all the people who want to come to church. I spoke up and said, well, if you will teach what Jesus said in Matthew 5:32, about half of those people will get up and leave, and you won't have any trouble seating the people. His mouth fell open. I suppose some of the people laughed. I got up and fled. There was no way I was going to stay and eat a meal next to this man wearing that cross and saying those things. I wasn't going to do it. If you will teach what Jesus says in Matthew 5:32, you won't have big churches. What does he say? Look at it again. Whosoever shall put away his wife, divorce his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. She will commit adultery if she remarries after divorce. But he is the cause of it. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. How many people do you suppose are in that auditorium who have done these things? Maybe unknowingly, but have done them because they don't teach the scripture. There was a time when a man in our little church group had filed divorce papers against his wife. I called him immediately as soon as I heard about it, and I said, was your wife unfaithful? And there was a long silence. And he said, no. And I said, well, that is the only scriptural reason for divorcing your wife. Read Matthew 5:32. And apparently he did, because he removed the divorce papers that he had filed against her. So what's going on in the churches today? Why aren't they teaching these scriptures? They teach some scripture. They just don't teach all. And Jesus said, man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The Apostle Paul told us something in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Start at verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for the day of the Lord, the return of Jesus, will not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God. He sits in the churches, showing himself that he is God. When I read that in 1982, God spoke to me about this scripture. And he said, the falling away are not people leaving the churches. The falling away are the churches leaving the scriptures. Antichrist. And I saw immediately, Antichrist was in the churches. When any portion of scripture at a church is omitted or changed, integrity is eaten away in that church group, and Antichrist moves in through the open door and sets up another doctrine which is not the doctrine of Christ according to that scripture that was omitted. But it's another doctrine, and basically it will approve the people committing sin without repentance. If you tell them about the sin, they might repent. I've certainly seen people repent when I've given them scripture. God opened their eyes to see they were sinning, and they were born again. But if you withhold the scripture because you don't want to offend anyone, because they might leave your church group and take their offerings with them to another church, if you do that, oh, I think you have a very, very horrible judgment ahead unless you repent. I've often heard longtime churchgoers say, things at church are so watered down today. It isn't the same at church that it used to be. What is that? Antichrist moving into the church, the end time. At the end time, Revelation 12:12, the devil becomes absolutely livid on the earth because he knows his time is short. Jesus comes at a time that we think not to remove us from this earth. And Peter said, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14, when Jesus comes, be diligent that you will be found by Jesus in peace, without spot, and blameless. Not caring about the truth destroys you. Not having a love of the truth destroys you. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. When Jesus comes, what will happen? Verse 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. And then at verse 10 it says, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. They won't receive the scripture. They want to continue in their church group. I once told someone that John, the Apostle John, says, there are already many antichrists among you in the church group. He said that in 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Antichrist is a spirit. He is like a devil in all people that have devils. He takes over, he says something, and the person repeats it. One time I showed someone a scripture. Their church group was going exactly the opposite way to that scripture. The person saw that it was opposite to that scripture and said to me, well, I think I'll just stay with my church group. Oh. When I was born again, I went to a little church called Believer's Chapel. The pastors were from Dallas Theological Seminary. My best friend went there, and I went with her and her husband. They were teaching about tongues, and the pastor was teaching a seminar entitled Tongues Are of the Devil. I really didn't care about tongues. I'm not sure I'd ever heard about the subject of tongues. But I went to the seminar, and I just automatically thought he was speaking the Bible. That's what you're supposed to do if you're a pastor. But I was extremely immature. I never dreamed anything could be wrong at the church. I was reading the Bible one day, and Paul began to speak about the subject of tongues, 1 Corinthians 14. And he said that if there's not an interpreter, don't speak the tongue. Just speak to yourself and God. And then at the end of the section of scripture of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul said, let everything be done decently and in order, and forbid not to speak with tongues at the church. That was exactly opposite to what they were teaching at the church I was attending. They were teaching tongues are of the devil. My best friend and I were driving along one day, and I said, hey, Donna, did you know that Paul said, forbid not to speak with tongues? She pulled off the side of the road and said, let me see that. Where is that in the Bible? She had been raised Baptist. And then she became Catholic in order to marry a Catholic over in Italy. And then she went back to a non-denominational church. So I suppose she'd never been in a church where they taught forbid not to speak with tongues. She'd pulled off the side of the road. I had a little New Testament Bible that I carried in my purse. She read it and said, well, that is what it says. I said, yeah, I'm not going back to that church that's teaching that tongues are of the devil. She said, well, I'm not going back either. She said, first, let's go over to my house and we'll take every translation that I have of the Bible and see if it says that. And it did. Now, this is a woman who's had lots of years in churches and had never seen that scripture. And that's what I find most people are like. They have a Bible, they go to church, but they really don't read that Bible and do it. My own cousin, sadly, said to me, oh, I do so well during the day, but at nighttime, I just really get so lonely. I said, oh, that's no problem. All you do is when you start feeling heavy, turn to God and just say, please get me through this evening. And he will. A couple of weeks later, she wrote to me and said, I do so well during the day, but at nighttime, I get so lonely. She didn't do the scripture. At that time, she was about 97, and she'd been Church of Christ all her life. But not doing Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Pray. If you get lonely at night, pray. God, help me get through tonight. Help me to have something to do. Help me to go to sleep. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus the Word. Now that's Philippians 4:7. But so many people go to church, even read the Bible, but don't do the scriptures in their own life. It doesn't avail you anything if you listen to this broadcast and don't do the instruction. So those people who cast away the truth of the scripture and hang on to their church like that one woman did. 2 Thessalonians 2. Then, when Jesus returns, will that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Now, verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion. At one of the churches I went to was a faith movement church. And a woman from Fort Worth, I was talking with her. She went to a faith movement church. And I said, Lily, I want you to read something from the Bible. Read it aloud. Verse 10 and 11 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So she starts reading. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And then Lily said, and verse 11, for this cause, and she hesitated, and then she said, God will send them strong delusion. That's certainly not what they teach in the faith movement. She just stopped. I don't think she even finished reading it. But it says, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, because they wouldn't receive the truth. They didn't have the love of the truth. Verse 12 says, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Hey, there's great pleasure in going to church. You're part of a group. You have friends. I've had to leave at least 3 churches. It's really hard. You have to love the scripture and what God says to you more than you love that church. Now let's look at 2 Peter 2. Because let's say you give up something that's a sin, and you know it's a sin, and then you go back to it. Oh, this is really bad. 2 Peter 2, but there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, bad teachings, even denying the Lord, the Word, the Scripture, to teach something else, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness they shall with feigned words make merchandise of you. Preachers who are preaching, don't know what they're saying, doing all this stomping around up there on the platform, waving their hands, shouting, but not teaching you any scripture, or very little. And through covetousness to get your money, they will with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Verse 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh, in the lust of uncleanness, and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, and they're not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, and many of their ministers, made to be taken and be destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not. Like that pastor from Dallas Theological Seminary who is saying tongues are of the devil. Now, I took the Bible and did a study of tongues at that time and read every scripture in the Bible on that subject and compared the scriptures, trying to prove that tongues were of the devil, and instead, I saw that that was a false doctrine. Take the Bible and read all the scriptures if you were wanting to marry after divorce. Take it and see what the Bible says. It's really easy to look it up nowadays in an online Bible, especially. You're responsible for your salvation. But these, as natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. Verse 13, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots are they, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. Having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. Verse 15, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. He wanted to curse the children of God because the king promised him he'd give him money if he cursed those people at the border that were waiting to come into his land, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumbass, speaking with a man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. His own donkey ran him into the side of a wall, stopped him from going forward because the donkey saw an angel of God with a sword drawn. Verse 17, these are wells without water. They don't give you anything, these corrupt ministers. They promise you things, but they're wells without water. Clouds are they carried with the tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of your flesh, through much and much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. For after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord, the Word, through the knowledge of the Word, if they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Thank you for allowing me to share with you today.